What's in the pot?
What's in the pot? Not a head.
What?
Not Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Yeah, okay. a brand new pop culture podcast from me, Gavin Todd.
And myself, Marta De Silva.
Very nice grammar.
Thank you.
We are co-founders of Starbound Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
We watch and play too much stuff. So,
pretty much, yes.
So now we're gonna talk to you about it right in your ear holes.
It's because we don't really devote enough time in our lives to our hobbies and pop culture in general. And we why not just, you know, dedicate some more to not doing real life jobs and talking about the stuff we like to do instead.
Yeah. Every week we will talk about whatever is determined by the D8 of fate, which we'll explain in a moment. But first, it's time for some news.
The news.
News.
Eventually we will have music for all of this.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Maybe.
I just kind of like me saying news stupidly. we'll just set that to music. But this week is all about
E3.
The Electronics Entertainment Expo, if you are not fluent in the way of video games.
I'm also a really big nerd because I don't think anyone has ever called it by its actual complete name.
Since about 2002, no.
Pretty much.
Since that year it was in a hotel in Vegas with the Porn Expo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Oh,
I missed that one.
No, it's not. Sorry, that's a different story. You know the big electronics one that's like...
PAX?
No, it's the one where like Sony and stuff introduced their new TVs, which is
not the
gaming one, like the general electronics.
The one that no one cares
about. Video games used to be in a hall with like the porn.
Oh yeah, because people used to think of video games as an afterthought, and now they have their own. Well, they have several of their own expos because they're massive. Thanks in part to people like us. And hopefully people like me who are trying to make them.
Well, most of people like us who have to talk about them.
Yes, mostly. And there's a lot to talk about. I'm just going to count here because I think it's worthwhile. I did my work. I did some prep work for the podcast.
I just watched the shows.
I took notes, which I've never done before in my life, which was quite interesting. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double-sided sort of a
I'm
not gonna read all of that. No. Just like we could just to give us some structure and stuff, we can start with EA, who was the first one out of the door,
and we're done.
It was the most boring thing I've ever seen, and I am so disappointed, especially because BioWare presented their new game for which they have killed Mass Effect, and it's a shitty multiplayer fucking FPS loot thing.
It's a third person shooter, but yes.
Yeah, but it's like multiplayer.
It's not
a single player game.
It appears to be primarily multiplayer.
And I'm like,
which is a recurring theme of this year's
we will get to it on my notes, but just so that you can read it. What does it say over there?
Yep. I have...
Big block letters on my third page. It states, I hate multiplayer.
Apologies, Marta's capillaries have popped the mic.
Oh, I apologize. I swear, I'll do it again. I fucking hate multiplayer. I really, really, really despise it.
We'll get to my complex emotional journey.
Yes, but anyway, so they presented a lot of sports bollocking things that, you know,
which
make them money.
Which now has story mode stolen from Spike Lee's, Spike Jones's NBA something.
This idea of injecting story into what is essentially a sports game is so dumb.
Well, that's the reason I play them.
Who do you expect will buy these games because of that?
Yeah, I'm not going to buy a game because of it. Like, when I was younger, I wanted the game to have a story mode, because otherwise I was like, why am I playing it?
What's Gavin, you're a weirdo. No, you're the writer. You care about that. Who do you think who plays FIFA gives a rat's behind about following someone's journey? It's like, no one cares. It's so stupid. Yeah. Anyways, Battlefield, which is old news, and the Star Wars Battlefront 2, which again...
finally having a campaign, which makes it worth buying.
Boring. Anyways.
Well, I loved the first two when I was younger.
Anyways.
They are my shooter. They're the only, like, Warfield shooter that I ever played.
They will make money, and I'm glad for them, but definitely not for me.
If the campaign's, like, if I hear that a campaign is properly meaty,
Battlefront 1, Star Wars, was not great.
The newer one.
Yeah.
I mean, I played some of it with my brother, but I still preferred the PlayStation 2 ones.
But this is the thing. This one is the second version of the new one. It has nothing to do with the old ones. It's basically the new one with new characters and new maps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean, I think that like, the PlayStation 2 games are arguably to me still better. Yeah. I think they had
it's
more
like
interesting
Destiny 2,
modes.
And like, fool me once.
And they had really good local multiplayer. They had really interesting local multiplayer modes. One was called like Galactic Conquest. They kind of had like overworld where like you kind of risk moved around the map and mm-hmm. the planets.
Yeah.
And if you won enough battles in a row as the Empire, then you could blow up planets.
Yeah.
It was great.
Just to mention that two things that just came into my brain. One, I think we've mentioned my relationship with multiplayer in general. And yeah. Two, this is in the news section, but it's also pretty much our games. And I'm sorry for the die. It doesn't get to choose about
the die probably won't get to choose.
Yeah, because this one's quite big. But anyway, we move on to Microsoft. They presented their amazing new Xbox One X.
Did you...
These names get more and more ridiculous.
Did you realize why it's called the Xbox One X?
Do I care?
The acronym is Xbox. Xbox One X. Xbox.
I don't get it.
XBOX.
Yeah. One X, as in instead of two X's?
No, but you're calling it the One X because XBOX. Its whole acronym is Xbox.
Still don't get it. It's fine though. You can explain that to me later.
Okay.
But yeah, is this, again, this obsession with 4K and all kinds of... First of all, I don't need 4K in my games. I have a PlayStation 4, and it's just... As long as it runs well and has enough frame rate, I don't care. I mean, they
Until
look
I
fine.
Have an incredibly expensive television
and
where
then,
I can get those extra
like,
colors.
I like games to look kind of like games, and we're, some of these games, like we will talk about later, that they're beginning to really... fall into the uncanny valley thing for me, where it's like you're trying to make them look so real that they actually don't look that great anymore.
Yeah.
But anyways, and again,
but also it's too expensive.
Someone was watching. I was watching with some Twitch people, and they very rightly commented that their computers right now already are better than the Xbox X. So this idea of making super powerful consoles is kind of, especially at $700. It's stupid, because if you really want to spend a lot of money and having a beast, you're going to get a PC. You're not going to buy a console. Anyways, games
especially
wise,
not a $500 console.
Lots of talking about 4K and lots of exclusives, which again, blah.
Not really exclusive.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Yes.
We will get to it, but PlayStation mentioned one. Microsoft, look at all our exclusives, like anyone gives a shit. Anyways,
yeah.
Metro Exodus looks pretty good. Assassin's Creed Origins, which is, you know, whatever. I mean,
I went to the bathroom during the video game demo, during the gameplay demo for that.
Can we talk about this game in, like, if the games section comes up? Because I have a few things I need to say about this game.
But I'm a sucker for Assassin's Creed. So.
And there are some narrative problems, though, that I've encountered with this game and the way they're describing it. But we'll see. You play as a bird, which apparently is a thing now.
Literal legal vision.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
That made me smile.
Sure. Like, cool. Battlegrounds, which is an exclusive.
Fun
State
to watch,
of Decay, which is just
never
another zombie game that no one cares about. The only thing that really stuck
it
out to
me... It has a small cult audience.
I know, but what stuck out to me that I need to double check is that it looked like Gideon Emery was narrating it, the American voice, and he's one of my favourite VOs, so I need to check if it's him.
For those listening, which is all of you, my hands are raised and...
Yeah, Deep Rock Galactic is another Minecraft No Man's Sky thing. The Darwin Project is like an Overwatch kind of thing, and my note
like
is
Battlegrounds.
What the fuck is this game?
It was like Battlegrounds, and it came right after Battlegrounds.
I know, but I'm like, Dragon Ball no one cares about. There's an MMORPG, which is Black Desert again. The Last Knight looks really good though.
Oh, that
looks it looks
amazing.
Very interesting.
Do you know, did you know this
platformer? Did you see when he came out on the guy who made it, or one of the producers came out in the PC
PC conference.
In the conference. And he, like, apologized about stuff he'd said online. Do you know anything about this?
No, yeah.
Because he started, like, mentioning shit. I'm like, I'd like to apologize for my things on Twitter. And I just sort of logged out because who cares? But at the same time, I was like, I wonder if there's something there.
The game looks amazing, though.
Yes, The Artful Escape.
It's like Pixel or Blade Runner.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I wrote. Blade Runner vibe, which is my favorite movie, FYI. Have you seen my poster? I just put up a poster in my house of an original.
I saw it upside down in the hall.
Original 1980s poster. Code Vein, which is an anime Dark Souls, basically. So
yeah, this is the only thing that people are saying about this.
Because it's what that's what it Dark is. Sea of Thieves with a Scottish narrator, which it took me a minute to figure out if he was really Scottish or just putting on an accent. He sounded authentic.
And it was a
midway.
Voice I recognised, but I could not pinpoint.
Same. I had that same thing.
There is a very specific Scottish voice that I'm sure we've heard somewhere else, but I can't remember.
So there you
is.
Go, Gavin. You have an opportunity to work as a narrator in like,
of course I do.
Thieves
I
and pirate games, which apparently
I'm sure our listeners will agree.
Pirates are the new thing. 2017 is the year of pirate games.
Well, it's because Black Flag was so good.
Oh god.
Whereas Sea of Thieves to me looks like trash.
I have Scottish narrator, co-op multiplayer, and another fucking. There is an actual game somewhere I've got it written down, which is basically Black Flag.
You skipped over The Artful Escape, by the way, which I thought looked cool, and it looked like it's a music platformer.
I saw it looks
like a rhythm thingy.
Very strange, but amazing music is what I noted. Like music.
If it's a rhythm thingy, I'm in, because I love Thumper.
Yeah. I don't know if it's rhythm or build the environment with the music. I don't know what the mechanics are. Yeah.
So.
Cuphead, which I don't know what that is. There's Crackdown 3.
You don't know what Cuphead is?
No.
Oh, Cuphead looks amazing and has looked amazing for 3 years.
Yeah.
It looks like a completely playable 1920s Looney Tunes.
Oh, okay.
It was like a boss rush game. Like it was a bunch of real cartoon bosses, those one or two Cuphead guys.
I've not heard of this before.
Then they came back to E3 the next year because people were like, it's only bosses. And they were like, yeah, and people were like, eh. They came back with,
are you sure?
With platforming levels, which were apparently trash, so they went away. Now they're back and they're saying it's out in September this year. We'll see if the platform levels are any good, but it's only on Xbox, so I'll probably never play it.
I have an Xbox, you can
true.
Put it here.
I think it's also on Windows 10. It turns out my laptop actually plays some games decently.
Yeah.
But the main thing that attracts me to that game is the art style is incredible.
And it's, I love me
if
some
you
good
have
art
not,
style.
If you have not Cuphead,
no.
Even if you don't care about the gameplay, go see its visuals. They are stunning.
I'm shocked that I've missed this because it's this.
But
most
of the time, I'm like, meh, that art style seems fine. Cuphead is the only art style that's anyway.
See, for me, it was Borderlands.
Mostly because of the playable. The fact that that's
playable cartoons
is insane.
It's every kid's dream. There's Crackdown 3, which looks like a man's, and Saints Row, which I'm all for because
I just got Saints Row 4. We'll see how much I like.
I love those two games. There's some indies, whatever. Life is Strange 2.
This isn't Life is Strange 2.
Well, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
And gonna get the same actress because the voice actress is not coming back, which is gonna be very jarring.
Do you know
and
why?
Weird. SAG-AFTRA.
But she is apparently helping write the story.
Yeah, but they probably hired a European person to voice it. Shadows of War, which we can talk about later because you just finished the game. If we talk about games, what's compatibility for Xbox 360 was. Which, you know, there are some good Xbox original games, so that's
never
nice.
Been an Xboxer.
And then I have Anthem and a lot of thoughts about this game because this is just mentioned.
We save Anthem.
Yeah. We can talk about that later. Bethesda and Bethesda Land. Like that.
I love the fact that Bethesda Land have clearly just bought into like drawing 2D cartoons. They made them for Fallout 4 and they were like my favorite thing in Fallout 4.
It's the best thing about
and
it.
And now here's the guide to survive the atomic waste.
I love
so
the mix
good.
Between like 1950s sensibilities and announced like voice and the post-apocalypse. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Though I have to say that their expo was not super exciting. There was literally only two games that I care about.
Didn't play the first one.
Which looks amazing. This is probably, I don't know if I'll play it because I'm not, I like watching other people play these games, the horror survival games.
You played Resident Evil 7, right?
Yes, but I realized that I don't enjoy
playing. You mentioned you left me.
I know, I'm so sorry. I was busy with something.
You should say that.
I do, we can still play
VR. Oh, you got it here.
I've got one part. The next will be coming in a couple of weeks, or headset. I have the camera. The other one, it didn't fit in my luggage.
Well,
it's in another
we'll
country, I apologize. But anyway, Within is going to do VR or not, but I will probably watch it, maybe buy it.
I think they'd have said, because they announced three other.
They won't do it now, but it might come like the year after, just like all these games.
If they built it from the year up, they might. From the ground up, it looks to me like survival horror is becoming the thing that you can make a complete game
well,
in VR.
Well, I mean, let's talk about VR, because Doom, Fallout 4, all of these, Skyrim, they're all turning into VR games now, years after release. So I think it's just the way things are going.
I don't think Doom is a full game, from what I understand. From what I understand, the Doom thing is like a bit of it.
Like a big bit of it. The way they presented it seemed
Fallout
like...
Fallout 4 is maybe the whole thing?
It seems to be the whole game. Which is
That would, I would maybe replay that if it controls well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It, that's not my, that, well, my issue is the controls. The headset, my yeah. issue would be the controls.
If it controls well, because the next day they showed Skyrim in VR.
Yeah, that's the problem. Skyrim, would I would be puking everywhere. But because Fallout has the VAT system, that is something
which
that,
I didn't actually use in Fallout 4 that much, but it would make me use it again.
In VR, yeah. And then
but
Wolfenstein.
To be fair, the VAT system has always been a compromise for terrible controls.
So yeah, and then finally Wolfenstein.
I still need to go back and finish the first game.
Which, again, is one of those games that I didn't really play myself, but I enjoy watching other people play.
I played the first couple hours of the first game, really liked it. So
it's really fun.
That off
it's
to
great.
Get this back.
And it's very interesting because it seems like they're kind of weirdly... It's always been World War II-ish era, but yeah. Now it's... Not anymore. Like, they're dressed in very contemporary clothes, and people look like they're in the 70s. So I'm really confused about the timeline.
Forward.
But it's quite... Because his girlfriend/wife is pregnant and still alive, therefore not that long, maybe? I'm very confused, but... the game. On to Ubisoft, which is... I have quite a few things to say as well. They have a lot of games, but anyways. Assassin's Creed Origins, we will talk about later. There's the Mario Rabbids... thing, game,
not my kind
for
of game,
Switch.
But the fact that it's XCOM-like gameplay is more than I ever thought it would be.
Can we talk about how many Switch games Ubisoft is doing? They like...
Ubisoft
they've...
have always been the sort of third-party yeah. Nintendo's corner.
They've gone, full
no,
on.
No, still not with Assassin's Creed.
Nope.
But basically with the Ubisoft kind of trash game.
They have at least
like
two
the
or three...
Just Exhaust Pipe. Not Just Cause, Just Dance Exhaust Pipe. Just Cause is amazing, Just Cause is not an exhaust pipe, and it's Square Enix.
Yeah.
But the Just Dance
But they have quite
stuff.
A few, I mean, they have Starlink, they have at least two or three games they announced exclusively for Switch.
Yep.
The Crew 2, don't care.
I love the Crew 1.
I know,
it's
you
trash.
Mentioned.
This did not excite me. What the Crew 2 was, new map.
Basically.
And it is, same map, boat. To which I'm like, that's DLC.
That's a
DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
If they later come out and they say, if it's a huge, like what I would have expected from the Crew 2.
Let's always go back to my favorite game and to just look at fucking The Witcher. Gave you an entire game as a DLC.
And a half, by the way.
And, you know, and they never went like, oh, it's a new game. Here, give me 60 more pounds.
But the Crew 2, what I was expecting was them to do what they did with America, where you could drive across the whole of the USA.
Yeah.
That's the inverted commas voice.
Inverted commas, yeah. He just air quoted.
But do that for Europe.
Yeah,
that's why
fun.
I expected the Crew 2 to be. It isn't. Seems like it's basically the same map with
really
some extra cities.
Big. You could do so many. I mean, there's so many interesting places you could drive around. I don't.
I mean, the air races is kind of cool, but like that's not enough for it to be a sequel to me.
Yeah. South Park, which looks funny as ever.
I still need to get the first game back off Alex.
They always look very good.
Really funny.
There's Transference.
It's a VR horror game that Elijah Wood is producing. That's
what
all
I have
know.
Written down is looks interesting. Need more info.
Yeah,
because we literally got the Hobbit.
To all VR games.
We had the Hobbit saying some weird shit, and that was it. I was like, "That's great, but I need more."
Technically, we had the Hobbit's nephew.
Fair enough. Yes, he's known as the famous Hobbit, but he is not the Hobbit.
That's this kind of show.
Skull and Bones, pirate game.
Let's.
Basically, this is what I wrote. Let me just say what I wrote because you like Black Sails. I
Black
really
Flag.
Black,
I Flag,
Black Flag. Sorry, I really, really
Black
don't.
Black Flag is awesome.
I fucking hate it. But I wrote Pirates, basically an Assassin's Creed for sailing naval combat game, shared systemic world, multiplayer, no, and then followed by my big block. I hate multiplayer. I was getting quite tired of that by this point. I was like, what?
So here was my journey as Skull and Bones came up. Eve Gilmore comes on stage and it's like, I'm excited to
the French people
to announce to you a brand new building on the legacy of one of our great games. And I was like, this is building off how good Black Flag was. And then it was like, it's a pirate game. I was like, oh, yeah. I'll take
a
whole
naval
game.
Combat game.
I'll take a whole thing of that. And then in a bit I was like, can I walk? Maybe I wouldn't be so keen if it's purely naval combat. Then the guy comes out on stage and he says, in a shared systemic world, and my excitement went,
just died. Exactly. It's what I mean. It's just,
purely multiplayer?
Yeah.
Why? Ubisoft have taken all the wrong lessons from Black Flag. Like, what I want is a pirate game like Black Flag, where I can sail a bit and also walk and run around a bit.
No,
Black
you know
Flag to me is probably so my favorite.
What I found was just obnoxious about this game. They have a fight. They go to another ship. They go to board it. It's a cutscene, and then you move. You don't get to board the other ship
yourself.
Which
you could in Black Flag, by the way.
Exactly. It's like, that's the fun part. far. You let me board another ship, fight some people with like a sword and guns, which is the fun bit of being a pirate, and not give me like a shitty cutscene and then picking up some coins from the water. It's awful. It's like so bad. Anyways, then there was a little what the fuck moment with the dancing robot men that were announcing Just Dance.
And I keep saying Just Cause, Just Dance.
For a second there, I was like, what is going on? What are these people doing?
It's been longer in previous years. It wasn't the most awkward.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Anyways,
Ubisoft ever done.
Starlink, which looks okay, but it's for Switch.
Don't
Steep,
care.
Which is
sports. Starlink's for everything.
Game, yeah. And Far Cry 5, which I am actually quite excited about.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. I like the characters. Loved the music. Again, though, there was some mentioning of co-op and multiplayer in there, which didn't
That's
make me
been
very.
True since Far Cry 4.
I know, but I don't know how big it's going to be on this.
I think
one.
It's going to be the same in Far Cry 4.
Good.
My observation was that this has added no new gameplay features from Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
That idea of guns for hire was basically the co-op feature of Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Where you could spend credits to call in NPCs people from other games.
Which I never used.
Never did it.
Because I don't care.
It sounds to me like the fact that they're using the exact same phrase for that means that this is just a new map.
My only worrying thing is that if they've made the game so that the only way you can actually get through some of these, like, chapters, stages, areas, whatever, is you have to get other people. So they kind of do but don't force you to use multiplayer, and that's an issue for me.
Well,
I don't want
to
be forced.
That's what they did with Ghost Recon, but I haven't encountered that in Ghost Recon yet. If anything, it's made Ghost Recon to be a really hardcore game, and I like that.
Yeah, but still, I want to be able to play my own game on my own, in my own terms, and if I choose to have other people. But yeah, anyways. We don't have a release date for that, though.
Don't we?
Don't we? At least they didn't give us one on this.
I think they gave us that a while ago. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe on the
sure
Sony
it's
October,
one. November.
And then finally, you had Beyond Good and Evil.
Didn't play the first one, so
I have a problem with this game.
Steep, by the way, would never have played before. Now it has Olympics DLC. I'm a sucker for the Olympics. Might need to get that game.
Sure. I will go to Japan during the Olympics, so you do you and I'll do me.
You'll miss the Olympics because they're in Korea.
No, the Olympics are in Tokyo.
No, the Summer Olympics are.
No, 2020. Yeah, those
Olympics.
Are the ones I'm going to.
The Winter Olympics, which is the one that Steep is associated
with.
Oh,
you didn't say
Korea.
Winter. Okay, I don't care.
Steep to Winter is a winter sports game. But yeah.
I love watching. Don't really care about playing it. But my one thing with Beyond Good and Evil, right? I was watching it. I was like, oh, this looks good. This looks interesting. Even though the humanoid animal characters look... Again, the Uncanny Valley thing plays into this.
Yeah.
They begin to look really, really nasty, and I don't really want to look at them, even the monkey dude. But then I realized, and again, I'm sorry about this, but I have to. I'm a woman. All the male characters in the preview, if not in the game, are animals, and all the women are human babes.
I didn't even know that.
Very uncomfortable. I was like, this is slightly problematic for me, because yikes.
Did you notice how much work had gone into the jail physics?
Yes. And I was like, again, looks good, but very problematic. And I hope the actual game, like, when you start playing it, is not, because if it is, I might not be able to play it. It's just...
Yeah, hopefully they haven't spent the 18 years they've been developing this game working on boob physics.
And also,
that's what we expect from
bestiality is really not my thing. And I mean, no. Look at me. I love Mass Effect. I bang aliens with my characters. I don't care, because they're aliens. They don't look like anything recognizable. I know what a pig looks like, and a monkey, and it's very uncomfortable, and I didn't like it. Anyways, I've got it written down. Men, animals, women, human. And then there was like a really interesting mix of like accents, and because they seem to be in like an India sort
Mostly
of place,
British.
But the monkey is Cockney, and then
so
they were
is
in
the
Chinatown.
Girl, right?
Yeah, then they were in Chinatown, and there were like sci-fi stuff. So it looked like visually, it looks really interesting. Obviously, it was a cutscene, so it's not gameplay. You don't really know what it's going to look like. And yeah, they were like, you know, they asked for audience participation
to
make
with
the game.
Development.
And I was going
to
be like, let me write you an email about why your women should not exclusively be human babes with boobs that move right, please.
Question. Do they move right?
Right in your imagination. Right, right, not in the sense of physically correct. Right in, like, the most arousing way
possible. Right in the sense
possible.
That they're not just, like, one polygon.
They're like jelly.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's not how
that's like an accurate description of that trailer.
Yeah, it's like, that's not how it works.
I don't want to put across the impression, by the way, that that was all that Martin and I noticed, but it was hard for the eye not to notice.
I mean, I think that was the purpose, and I noticed. So sorry, but yeah.
Sorry if we're clipping through this, by the way.
Are we?
I'm trying not to, yes.
We're so
well,
far
you
away.
Are.
Oh, I speak very loudly. I'm so sorry. I project. I'm an actor. I can't help it.
Right there. It's fine.
So we can do that. So maybe that'll help. Just put my little notebook in
front
of my mouth.
Well, that might actually be counterproductive. But yeah.
Sony is the final one.
Yeah.
For me, again, okay, yes, I admit it. I'm a PlayStation fan.
Well, yeah, both of us are.
I quite like it. So for me, they won E3 just because they tend to make at least the last couple of years, it's theatrical in a way, because they add some stuff like that opening with the music and the water was amazing.
That was cool.
I loved it. And then they had like the zombies hanging, and it's not like massive stuff, but small details to make
the audience in the room didn't care. But if I'd been there, I'd have been like, this
is what I mean.
Cool.
They're doing that for the live audience to enjoy more than watching.
And that live audience clearly not in terms of theater people. Someone at Sony is.
Yeah, clearly. I think Sean Layden and I would really get along. I love him. But the thing is, and I've seen criticism of this online, though to me it's a good thing, is that they just focused on the games. They just showed videos of games. They didn't. He came out for like a minute and a half, and that was it. And people was like, "Oh, it's just like a video. You know, it's just like a video watching conference, and we're not talking about hardware and tech stuff anymore. It's not a press run sort of thing." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, and that's I appreciate that because I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about the games. Games wise, let's see." They presented a bunch of DLCs. We've got Uncharted, Horizon Zero Dawn. What else? Days Gone looks interesting.
Looks much better than it did last year.
Yeah, and it looks much better than the other zombie games that have been shown.
It looks so.
Quick
sorry,
zombies
we,
too.
We skipped over. Yeah, we skipped over Horizon. Horizon DLC, yes, please.
Well, yeah, I haven't
I
started
Horizon.
The game, but yeah.
You haven't started Horizon
Not
yet.
Yet.
So good. I loved Horizon so much that the minute that came up, I was like, holy crap, we get to go to the Banuk homeland. That's how much I was
Don't
into that. I knew
it,
where
yeah.
it was. That isn't a spoiler.
You know what's amazing to me is that I met the man responsible for all the voice work in that game recently. I'm a big fan
of his.
Well,
it's a Dutch studio. It's Amsterdam.
Oh, no, they did in London. Most of
the
recording was down here, and it's one of those things where I'm
when
dying
you get to, the credits,
to work in one of
the
these.
The amount of double vowels and IJs, it's like, yep, this is a Dutch studio.
Clearly a Dutch studio.
But yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn, such a good game.
Yeah, it looks
you
amazing.
You need to get onto that.
I am.
We can do a whole podcast about
I just finished Prey, which we can talk about again if the die decides on games, but it's right there on my table to start. Days Gone looks good. I like the fact that they have quick zombies and zombies that move quickly.
So basically my thing that this made, last year Days Gone looked like kind of trash. It looked like another zombie game.
It was
game.
The barn one, right?
Yeah,
it was
the
in the
barn.
Barn.
Here's
yeah.
a horde of zombies. I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
The only redeeming feature is that this is Sam Witwer, who's great. And I've loved him since he was Starkiller in Force Unleashed. But this year, they made Days Gone look like a combination of Horizon gameplay and Last of Us.
Do you know what I have like, written on my little notebook? I have that. It looks like Last of Us had
Sons
a baby
of Anarchy
with Sons
the other
of Anarchy.
Thing people are saying. I never watched that, but
my
that
God,
makes
I have eyes. And
that
they
makes
work.
Days
it
Gone
looks very interesting.
Look way better. Yeah, and not also like the little cutscenes with Sam Witwer. Mm. His character looks great.
Yeah.
So.
Again, I still find it a bit iffy because we will talk about this again with Boston or Detroit or whatever the fuck it's called. Detroit Became Human. Become Human. When they have real active faces in games, I find that very distracting.
That only half looks like Sam Witwer.
But
like
in
it.
Detroit, it looks exactly
we'll
like the actor. And it's very... I don't like it because again, they don't look real enough yet.
Yeah.
And it's very distracting. I had... what's it called? Mirror's Edge. It's an issue I had with that game. It's like... Okay, no.
I couldn't play Mirror's Edge because it made me throw up, so...
Yeah.
That was
no, is it Mirror's Edge? No, it's not Mirror's Edge. I'm lying. It's not Mirror's Edge. It's the Xbox game with all the Hollywood
Quantum
actors.
Quantum Break.
Which one?
Quantum Break.
That's the one. I love that Layden, you know, he came out, and like other presenters who are like trying to get people rile up and applause, he doesn't even expect like trying to get people rile up and applause. He doesn't even expect people to applaud, and when they do, they're like, okay, fine. Let's move on. Yeah. And he's also mentioned that he doesn't like the spotlight or like hogging it, which I adore because all the other people are not very good public speakers and they clearly struggle. And this guy's like, hi, here are the games. Bye. So I love him. Monster Hunter
World?
Oh, someone
had a car crash during the EA one. He was like a YouTube creator, and it was just like... Like the odd queue clearly stopped working for him or something, and it was like, hard
stop.
This
is what I mean. Yeah, you need to get people up there who know... This guy knows... Layden clearly knows how to speak to big crowds. And the place was packed. And maybe it's like a Sony thing.
Sony's just, always been better, though.
Yeah, because they're like a corporate...
Phil Spencer's quite good, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, then we had a bunch of, like, Japanese games that, you know, Monster Hunter, Shadow of the Colossus... Okay.
Shadow of the Colossus remake. Ooh, if
remake
that's done
remaster?
Well...
Is it?
Remake.
Oh.
The remaster came out on PlayStation 3, and I think has been re-released on PlayStation 4.
Hmm.
This is a From the Ground Up remake.
Wow.
In
a way, yay, but also, really... We already have
yes.
the original. Let's have a new game.
But see, when that came up, like, I recognized the bridge in the background immediately.
Oh, yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
bridge from Shadow of the Colossus.
Because it looks exactly, very close to
I was like, is this a Shadow sequel? Which seems unlikely, because they took 20 years to make Last Guardian. but
yep.
the thing that is interesting about this is that there are, supposedly, when they were making the game, colossi that got cut for time because they didn't finish it.
Right.
Maybe this will restore those, which would be cool. Otherwise, I've played that game. I probably don't need to play it again. Super,
yeah.
if
yeah.
it controls better, that'd be nice. Like,
it's
I mean, all they have to do
yeah.
really to make that control better is jump should be on X, not triangle.
Yeah, that's always the case. X should be.
But that's definitely
time.
A remake from the ground up.
I wonder if it's one of those things where I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that it's a remake and therefore we'll add. To some of the stuff they had originally and just build on it, but it almost feels like it's like, well, the original game is quite popular and it was very good and it could be successful again, but the graphic situation for new audiences might be a deterrent, so let's just make it the same, just look nicer for future generations of gamers, which in a way it's like okay. Anyways, Marvel versus Capcom, which no one cares about, Call of Duty World War II, because of course
so
we need
so here's
a
the thing
Duty.
That sucked about this. At the last PlayStation conference, we both saw that Advanced Warfare trailer and we're like, what is this?
Is this the one on
this
space?
This looks awesome. The one in
Where
space.
Where did that go?
It
did
came
that,
out.
Oh,
it
did that
just we saw that one trailer at E3 thought
that goes
that
to show
cool,
how much I care about COD.
But
yeah.
like last year's Call of Duty trailer at the PlayStation conference, you couldn't tell it was Call of Duty. It looked really cool.
Yes.
And
did.
Then this one...
Is this the one with Kit Harington?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. See, it's
and then this
trailers
one...
look so great, and then the games are
And
terrible.
Then this trailer was like, it's Call of Duty, I don't care.
And also, another game, you know, another shooter during the Second World War, really? Another one?
Well, it's just that everyone's copying each other.
Oh, God, it's like, it's a good thing
it's
we
like
only have two
It's like how EA
are
copying
wars.
The story mode.
It's awful. It's just, ugh. And then a bunch of...
Oh, don't you worry. Call of Duty Desert Storm.
Yeah.
It's coming.
VR stuff. We have Skyrim, Starchild, Final Fantasy XV with Bleh and Moss, which I wrote, looks really cute. It's cute as fuck. It's the little, I think it Moss is the little...
There's a let's play of it up on Kind of Funny's YouTube channel.
Yeah, I might check it out just because it's adorable.
You do control the mouse, by the way, which isn't apparent from that trailer.
No, it's not. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Do.
Oh, it's such a cute little mouse.
Do you have, like, your hand and you also used your joy control, your controller.
So you're like
control
the Chihiro monster guy, but you can also control the little... And that mouse is the most adorable thing ever. And then The Inpatient, which looks very good.
Supermassive.
Supermassive
games,
Supermassive man.
Announced three games this year.
Again, I have written voiceover opportunities because they make a ton of games and they're very good.
Supermassive was announced before the show in a pre-show that no one was watching.
Yeah.
Their new proper game was announced.
Yeah.
It's called Prime Suspect or something.
Mm-hmm. It looks amazing and I've seen that in London in a conference here. Yeah.
I didn't see it because they announced it pre-show and I was like...
I don't know if there's any during the summer, but the next time there's like a big developer thing in London, we can go because Supermassive tends to be there and we can go
meet
them.
Well, they're based in... London, I think.
Yeah, and they tend to be in all the conferences, so we can go chat to them. But The Inpatient I have, it looks interesting. I mean, it's a prequel to Until Dawn.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's
the same. It's the same doctor.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the same actor, Faye. So it's a prequel. It's like it
I
happens
didn't
before.
This Peter Stormare.
Oh, it is. It is. But just not enough info at this point. Though a VR.
But also showing that thing. Clearly horror, survival horror, is the way
is
to go
way
for
to
full
go.
VR games.
Absolutely. God of War. Which I might be persuaded to play, even though I've never been a fan of the... Just
never
because
played
the,
before.
The original games, it's kind of like the Batman thing. The mechanics, for me personally, it's a turn off. I don't like games that work that way.
The last demo last year, I was like, cool, seems great for God of War people. This year, I was a bit more like, maybe I'll play this.
Maybe. It depends. It depends if it's more free-flowy combat as opposed to, you know, precise time combinations of button bashing stuff, which I don't really care about. Sorry. And then we arrive Destiny 2, which, do you care?
No.
Okay. And Detroit Become a Human.
I can't wait for that game.
See, I don't know.
Super scared that they didn't say what year it's coming out.
No. And my problem is that I was really excited about this game. And then I saw that trailer preview gameplay thing with the robots and the story. And suddenly I am completely and utterly uninterested.
Really? So you don't care about that story?
Not at all. Because for me, it's a combination. It looks like Watch Dogs met Life is Strange met Quantum Break. But my problem was when I was watching it, it was giving me flashbacks to Heavy Rain and those kinds of games. There was another one where you were like a spirit that, and
Beyond Two Souls, it's the same studio.
Beyond Two Souls, exactly. And suddenly I was like, oh no, it had so much potential, but I think the way they go about
Heavy Rain's a great game.
Making the game, I'm not going to.
You played Heavy
it.
Rain?
Yes.
Really good.
I don't like quick time prompts.
Then you'd hate Heavy Rain. Yeah, I mean, it's basically all quick time.
Exactly. And here it's I don't know. And also, you play as a robot that wants to destroy humans, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't. I mean,
well,
I understand they're
being. Wants to destroy them if you play them that way.
Exactly, because you have options. Now, my question is, do you really? And also, small spoiler perhaps, so if you're really interested in this game, maybe stop listening for 30 seconds. He is not an android. He doesn't have the blue chip on his head.
Well, yes, not obviously.
Not obviously. All of them have it and he doesn't. Obviously, it's very conspicuously missing from his head. So he
My
might
thought
be an
is
android.
That he's a new generation.
Exactly. So he might be an android, but he's not like the rest of them. And also it's kind of like, another politics game. Okay.
So my thing with that game is we really needed a release date or it's very far away.
I think it's
my
very
thought
far away.
Is maybe that they're just so French that they're like, we'll announce the Paris Games Week.
If they don't,
I
think
the
they're
Games
far
Week,
away. I think they're
Hello 2021.
Yeah, I think they're very far away.
At which point they
Especially,
need to stop showing this game.
The thing is, I think that if they want to deliver on what they've promised, it's that issue of like, you want to do a lot and you need time to do that, but if you start showing it this
but it
early.
It's so far on. Like, it was the same
We will
with
go
God
back
War,
to this
like,
conversation if we talk about games, because we have some chatting to do about Mass Effect Andromeda and how I was right all along. And I love to be vindicated, but anyways. And then finally,
we didn't get a release date of any kind for Anthem, did we?
No, because that's like,
that's far away.
That's far, yeah, that's far away. What bothers me is that they killed Mass Effect to make Anthem, and it because they gave Mass Effect to Vancouver or whatever. And then leached all the decent people. And basically people jumped ship. And it really hurts my soul that they would destroy a beloved IP they have for a multiplayer shooter
That
game.
Said, flying around like Iron Man looks super fun.
Yes.
The gameplay looks fine. Don't so much care about the shooter stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. And then three things that are not related to E3, but are game stuff. Do you want to leave that for the game if the Diocese decides?
Yes.
Cool. So that's E3 and a very long news section just today.
So we'll probably go 90 minutes this week just because there was a long...
Exactly. Most weeks we won't have had a massive 4-day long conference and game, so it won't be this long.
No, by the way, that neither of us really watched the PC conference.
Oh, I did. I did, yeah. I watched all of them. Basically, they presented a few of the already, like, some of the games we'd already heard about, and then some PC exclusive games.
Who presents that, by the way?
Oh, a really, really great... I mean, I don't know his name.
No, I mean, like, who puts it on?
Oh, it's Intel.
Oh.
And they gave out PCs, and the guy who does the presenting is actually fucking amazing. Because he's, like, this weirdly... I mean, he's, like, funny, but he's wearing a suit, and he's slightly awkward, but in, like, a comfortable way. So he owns it, and he was great. He seemed knowledgeable. He seemed to know the games and be really interested,
well,
and not in a fake way. I really liked him.
You know what Ubisoft needed? Somebody style her up in here.
Yeah.
She's so good. They need her. I think she was away doing something else.
Probably. But yeah, some of these are painful to watch just because of the people who come out and talk, and you're like, God, why? Don't. Don't let anyone speak.
So.
Moving on.
It's time for the D8 of Fate.
D8 of Fate.
Every week we'll talk Date about
fate.
Three things, probably.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. But
are we
they will be
cut
determined
it today.
By the die. What? The die?
The amount of stuff we're going to talk about.
Maybe. We'll see how long we go.
We'll see. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's our opening episode. We can go 90 minutes.
Is that how long we've been talking? Oh, we're good. We have a little while. Yeah.
Originally, it was bars, which
It's very confusing.
Yeah, I had a problem because I was looking at the computer. We have it in front of us, and it wasn't telling me time in a way I recognize. So I was like, yeah, that requires mathematics, and I'm not up for it.
It does bars, and you also need to know how long each bar is, which I can change. So.
Oh, great. Relative time. Perfect.
But yeah. So, rolling on one will be video games, which sends a poor message, but it's a D8, not a D20.
It's a D8.
A two is board games.
Mm-hmm.
A three is film. Mm-hmm. Although I can barely recognize that word in my notes. Four is TV, which includes Netflix and things.
Of course it does. Most of what I have to talk about is Netflix.
Five is music, which I really hope we're all this week because I've got something good. Six is theatre.
Because I'm an actor.
Slash self-promotion.
And you're a playwright.
Seven is...
Wait, there's seven?
I can't read this there. Came up with two more. Seven is books. And eight is podcast / radio /
oh, and other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a buffet of other stuff.
It's like if you're rolling a prismatic spray and you roll eight, which I think is like you get to choose.
You get to choose what you want to talk about. And eventually...
Or you get to choose what you're going to...
Maybe one day in the future we'll include other D&D mechanics. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, people come up with good ideas.
And... Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. Who does the rolling?
I think we roll them all at once. So
no, but should you? Should you I? Roll. Do you need one each?
Sure.
I love this. It's beautiful colored.
And then whoever rolls higher can roll again.
Four.
It's a four.
Is that not a four?
It's a four.
That looks like a four.
Fine. It's a four. So that's TV.
Oh great. That's a five.
Music. Yes. Yes.
Woohoo! Please be one. Please be one. No. We've talked about games enough.
We can't do this.
Oh no, that's out of bounds.
That's a cock die.
Seven.
Books.
Woohoo!
I'm into that.
Okay. I don't know if I could. Yeah, I'll figure it out. We are so well prepared.
Books could include comics if you have something.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah, we have a little bit to talk about.
This paper format. Timer started for segment one on television.
On television. Do you want to start? Shall I?
I've got two things.
Okay, so go.
I've started watching American Gods.
Me too! Oh my god! And I swear to god, we had not spoken about this.
I'm like 2 weeks behind, I think.
I'm on episode 5 or 6.
But I think I binged all of episode 5, up to episode 5.
Oh, so we're more or less in the same place. So my question is, have they met Marilyn Monroe? Media's Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Okay, so we're more or less in the
same place. My one ended after that thing in the prison room.
The thing. Okay. Yeah, I think I just finished that one too.
When the trees start.
Can I talk about how amazing this is? That we are literally, without any planning or previous communication between us, we're literally in the same spot on the same show.
I was
going to
watch it and then I was like,
yeah, same. Oh, wow. How are you liking it?
It's beautifully shot.
Yes.
Neil
Diamond is tricky.
Because
I was afraid.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah, I love him.
My fiance loves Neil Diamond.
Turning his books into something visual, given how amazing.
His ideas are. Cool.
They've done a really great job.
Yeah. Like, there's a board game, I'm thinking anyway, called A Study in Emerald,
mm-hmm.
which is a Cthulhu cross with Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, cool.
Neil Gaiman-based short story.
Oh, that's fun.
But yeah, it's great. Shadow Moon is awesome.
The acting is impeccable.
It's a great character, too. Laura Moon can get fucked.
Yes. Do you not like Lord Moon?
No, Laura Moon.
Laura Moon. Thank you. She's a fucking selfish
zombie
bitch, and I hope she dies horribly. And I know that, oh god, come on, don't do this to me, brain. Anubis is dying to kill me, because what a
he's
bitch.
Awesome.
He's awesome. Mr. Wednesday is amazing. Mr. World, who just showed up,
Crispin Glover.
So creepy.
So Crispin Glover.
You know, it's funny, he looks kind of like you, or you look kind of like him.
I don't take that as a compliment, but okay.
No, but in like a good way.
Yeah.
There were things today when he was like
I
talking
think you
and
mean
stuff
that,
and like
that kind of
your angular
weird, creepy character.
No.
And
the angles
in
your
angular
face are similar to his. I noticed for the first time. I was like, oh, that's really cool. I'm loving media and what they're doing.
Crispin Glover, by the way, kind of hasn't aged today since Back to the Future.
Right?
Like he kind of just looks a bit more kind of but no, I don't know if this is just that they've done something to his face to make him look kind of creepy.
I don't
that he looks kind of like
he
plastic surgery.
He was digitalized because they messed with colors and shadows and stuff.
I think they make him look kind of sweaty and plasticky.
Yeah, and the whites in the eyes are digital. They're doing it to all of them, to all the gods. Spoiler alert, these people are gods. Semi-god, kind of sort of gods.
I mean, do you know what my question is about the show? Are there people who haven't realized he's Odin yet?
Yes. No one knows he's Odin. Like, no one knows he's Odin. for sure. People think he's either death or the god of war. They think it's more of like a Roman Greeky god, probably, rather
than... It's
really
obvious.
Is it? Well, yeah. The eye thing, but if you don't
he's
know
Mr.
the
Wednesday.
Eye...
Odin's named after Wednesday. Wednesday is Odin's day.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
For example. I know it was Odin, but I didn't know
and
Wednesday
he's missing
was
an eye and there's crows around.
Odin, like Wednesday, the English word means that?
Yeah, it's derived from Odin's day.
Okay, because in every other language it's not. That's what I mean. This is a very English specific thing. So
yeah, it's Mercury. Eaten,
yeah. Miércoles is Mercury, so people think it's Mercury, the god of war.
In English it comes from Odin.
Odin. I don't know, like Shadow Moon, if you've not read the books, I don't think people actually understand that these people are gods.
I haven't read the book, by the way.
Yeah, but you know about it. And it's called American Gods. But I know some people who are like, so what's the god? Because they talk about the gods in the beginning of the episodes when they talk about the past gods. And they're like, so what's the deal with the gods? Where are they? And like, and they don't even call themselves by their actual names from the books.
I mean,
so
that's
it's very
the other
difficult
thing is that, like,
to know who they are.
The first episode's origin was a lot of the episodes are opening with how the old gods came to America.
Yeah.
So the first story is how Odin, Mr. Wednesday, got to America. It took me a minute to click. That's why that
is
was
that
the
his
opening
story.
Yeah.
Remind me which one it was because I've binged them all.
Because the Vikings built.
Oh, there
thing
we are.
There
we are. That's
it there.
Him. Yeah. That's him. Okay, got it. I loved Anansi. That was amazing and very, very appropriate in the times we're living in. Because I
was
like,
awesome.
That whole speech.
That is the definition of righteous rage.
Yep. He was like, 300 years of slavery. He's like, this is amazing.
Black men.
No, you don't know you're black yet. You think you're just people. I'm like, bring it, brother. Because that's exactly what happened. Loved Anansi, who shows up again. Teeny tiny spider. But things like media and technology and stuff
Julie
are
Anderson's
not as...
Julie Anderson's so good.
Oh my god, she's so good. But I don't think it's obvious, like, immediately obvious to maybe to people that these are the new gods that are the issue. And also, Odin is interesting because they talk of him as, like, you know, he's this massive god, etc. Not that many people venerated Odin in terms of amount of people. There were a lot more, like, Zeus should
see,
be more powerful
is, see,
than
this
Odin.
Is what I think. I've got a theory that this isn't proper Odin.
Okay.
That it's the Odin that was left by those Vikings, that he's kind of like a weird.
But who remembers
side
him
Odin?
That to give him power? Because the idea
people
is that.
From Wisconsin.
People.
Where the Vikings went.
So the principle of
the
show.
Minnesota and Wisconsin.
The whole war and everything they're talking about essentially is that these gods only exist.
And note, they're going to Wisconsin.
Yes, I know. In the hearts of men. And as long as people remember and venerate them, they exist and have
like
powers.
Like that beautiful animated sequence from, I think that was the most recent episode.
Yeah, there's this one. With the Ice Age situation. It was gorgeous. But the thing is, Odin... as Odin, because the other ones are like who they are supposed to be, no one prays to Odin anymore and haven't for a very long time. Because Anubis, for example, mentions how the grandmother spoke of him and the old ancient, and there are some people who still kind of talk about the ancient Egyptian gods, even if it's just academically.
Well, you're still taught by Odin, so I guess.
But not in like in a religion sense.
Well, you're not really taught by Anubis in the religion
sense. I think Loki is more talked about than Odin. You know what I mean? Maybe because of the Marvel movies, he's like regained power. But I'm just curious because...
I was really disappointed, by the way, that Chernobog wasn't Thor.
Sorry, that's what I mean. I would imagine... some Roman gods or Greek gods to have come over to the States with immigrants from those areas to be more powerful, prevalent. But it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm interested in seeing the story. And obviously it's Neil Gaiman who has a very specific cultural background and stuff that he's writing about.
Really makes me want to go back and watch Hannibal.
I have one problem with Hannibal, which it's not really a problem, but I am struggling with this show. And it is extremely violent and quite bloody and unpleasant at times. And you know me, I don't do that.
I will say that I don't always love that, but I think it's done in a way that is...
It's perfectly justified, and it does, I think it
works.
But
also isn't, like, is so over the top that it's not super unpleasant.
Yeah.
Like, there's ways that you can do really strong violence that can be really gritty and really horrible.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And this is, like, everyone kind of explodes.
This is
and
kind
the
of
blood,
Kill Bill
like,
violence.
The blood, I don't know if it's just me. The blood is the wrong color.
No, the blood isn't real. They don't want it to
it's
look
like
real
too
blood.
It's watery
It looks
painty.
Like syrup.
Yeah.
On purpose, I think. When Lady Moon comes around and kicks everyone in half, you know, you can clearly tell it's not... It's not even meant to look like real blood.
Yeah.
But then there's
which is one of the reasons I like it.
I hate her so much.
She sucked.
But yeah.
Fine performance.
I love the leprechaun.
He's great.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's so good.
When I started watching this, I was like, I cannot believe I'm not playing this guy.
I know.
What a great role to play.
I know.
Like, I'm not the right build for that, but
and
I
they've would do gone
it.
With like a non-leprechaun Irish accent, which I really appreciate. He doesn't sound like
he's just Irish.
Slightly Irish. But yeah, oh, this show is really good. So high recommend then? With shows and books and stuff, we should do like recommend. So yeah, I would say
definitely recommend.
Unless you mind.
I'm watching Doctor Who at the moment. I'm an episode behind.
Blood and nudity and swearing.
Yeah, lots of nudity.
Oh, another great Netflix. No, well, this is an Amazon actually one. A Netflix show that I really enjoyed.
By the way, I want to point out, lots of nudity was not necessarily a bonus. That was a consumer awareness point.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, unless
you... kind of ended it there.
If you don't like... Because I have to say though, like, I don't mind nudity, but I've always had an issue with women being naked and men not. This show...
Brian Fuller's been talking about that.
This show has no problems showing dick.
Him and Neil Gaiman were like, if we're going to do this, we kind of...
That image with the guy having sex with a djinn, which I don't quite understand. There's like visible boners front and center in this show. There's a dick pic.
CG. All the boners are CG.
The dick pic is not CG.
He
opens a phone and you see a massive... fucking dick, and I'm like, that does not look digital. Oh no, is it really digital? Well, obviously
yeah,
it would be digital.
The main problem was, how else can you make sure your actors are ready?
Ask porn actors. I thought it was a body double rather than digital.
No, apparently
the scene is so funky, like it doesn't look realistic. They go into the, you know, universe.
That one.
Can you explain that to me though? Because I don't understand. Did he like absorb the djinn? What's happening with those?
Oh,
two?
That one.
Because I didn't understand it.
He possessed him.
Who possessed who?
The djinn possessed the normal guy.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happened with the djinn body? The previous djinn body. He was still on the bed.
No, he wasn't.
Oh yes, he was. He was looking at him. Yeah, yeah. When he was getting dressed, he was looking at the other guy.
I thought he disappeared.
No, the ones who disappear are the African-American lady who...
Yeah, no, I thought the djinn's body disappeared. I didn't think it was there in the morning.
Okay, I'm pretty sure he was looking at him. But anyways, it doesn't matter. So yeah, high recommend. Netflix show that I recommend, very different from like drama to comedy, is Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt.
I haven't watched that.
Season 3. I was very much behind because I hadn't finished season 2, and I was talking about this recently with people on a job, and I went back to it, and oh my god, this show is fucking brilliant. It is so smart. It deals kind of like American Gods. It deals with some very current issues in American society, but in a way that is so carefully written and funny and just brilliant that it's I recommend it. Like, high recommend. It's very good. I don't know if I can't really speak of it because I would spoil it, but essentially, do you know about Kimmy Schmidt or anything about her?
I know of it. It's 30 Rock producers.
No. This is a girl who spent 15 years in a
bunker. I know her character, yeah.
Yeah, so...
But it's 30 Rock producers.
Which is great because, Tina Fey is in the show. She shows up as an actual character, which is amazing. Someone from Hamilton is in the show, which was really amazing. And the
funniest one from Bridesmaid is the...
Absolutely.
The character. What's her name? The actress's name is like right on the tip of my tongue.
I don't know.
Ellie Kemper.
There we go. Every actor in this show is brilliant. Every single one. The women are amazing. They're all funny in their own way, which proves that you can have three different female comedians.
I at some point, I've watched all of 30 Rock season 1 and I've been just like really quick. I want to go back and finish 30 Rock.
Do finish with 30 Rock and then move on to this, honestly. But there is one performer who plays Titus. He's the African-American music theater guy who is... not only incredibly funny, but probably one of the most talented singer, actor people I've ever known in my life. This man, every episode, he blows me away with how good he is. And his character is terrible, but he's just amazing. So another high recommend if you're looking for a comedy. Things on my list. Handmaid's Tale.
Doing Channel 4.
Well, I'm going to watch it online. Like, legally, I promise, but online. Because I can't be subject to television schedules anymore. Definitely Westworld, which horribly I haven't seen yet. I've seen 2 episodes on the plane to Japan. Loved it. Again, very violent.
I really struggle to watch anything from HBO that isn't Don Oliver because of their stupid policy on how to make shows with nudity. It just seems
bizarre. Well, this one doesn't have any unnecessary.
It doesn't seem unnecessary.
The only nudity in this show, again, is equal for males and females because there's because I would spoil it, but there is some, but it is justified. It makes sense. It is not sexualized. So
like,
far,
I don't think I'll ever watch Game
I've seen
of
like three episodes, like two.
I've
episodes.
Seen one episode of Game of Thrones, and it was.
Oh
like,
no, no, it's better.
It was a really good episode. It was the episode with the trial of
Tyrion.
Is that
Tyrion's trial?
Tyrion's trial. That bit was awesome.
Oh
it
yeah,
was
yeah,
really,
yeah,
really
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And then it was like, here's like four extra two scenes of boozing them. I'm like, I don't
yeah,
want
to whoring
this.
And
I don't
boozing
support
is,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but this one is not lost, but I think it's if you
well,
miss
it's J.J. Abrams mystery.
Yeah,
stuff.
And if you miss shows that fuck with your brain a little bit and that require a little thinking and are interesting and have good acting,
yeah.
Okay. I recommend. I would at least watch one episode and see what you
Maybe.
Think. Honestly, I would recommend that you do. So I want to finish that as well. And Archer, which is now almost fully out, my favorite TV show ever. It is still, well, Lost is number one, but Archer is a very close second. And I haven't seen any of the episodes.
Lost is still your number one TV show.
Yeah.
If you watch The West Wing.
Oh, yeah. Not because, it's not just about the TV show in of itself, which is arguably not, it's not the best TV show, but the experience of watching Lost
yeah,
the way I
yeah.
did live. No other show has impacted my life really
yeah.
as much as Lost, which is why it's still number one, basically.
Yeah.
In terms of quality, I don't think I could choose just the one show because there's
I think when
dozens.
I finally finished watching all of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, it might end up coming out on top.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, The West Wing, well, to be fair, The West Wing is probably the most perfect thing I will ever watch, at least for the first four seasons, like...
Mm. See, people might argue that about The Wire and Breaking Bad.
I've watched it yet.
There's a lot
not
of
my thing.
There's a lot of great shows.
Like The West Wing is to me like the perfect like tone.
Yeah.
It's like it's entertaining and it's serious.
See,
and
I liked
it's funny.
The original Nikita, which no one has watched, and it was fucking amazing.
The
too.
One with Sandra Oh.
Peter. No.
Oh
no,
no,
no, the original.
Oh, okay, that one.
Peter, I don't remember her name, which was like.
It was Maggie Q.
Yeah, Canadian, I think it was, the production. It was an amazing show. But yeah, it's just, there's a lot of good TV. But anyways, so
yeah.
any more
my,
TV?
Well,
we
my thing, none of my really coming up at the moment, because I'm not watching a huge amount of TV. It's probably good for me.
Yeah, I didn't have any
time. Because
I'm
mostly
time,
watching
just...
sporting things, but Doctor Who is really the main thing that
yeah.
I'm watching right now, which is
I just binged all weekend, essentially.
But Star Trek Discovery is coming up in autumn.
Ooh, this show, we'll see.
See
I have high
see.
Hopes, but we'll see.
But it put me on to something which they just announced in the States for Fox called The Orville, which is a Star Trek spoof with Seth MacFarlane.
Oh,
and
wait.
Adrian Palicki from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., who is awesome. She left Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to go to a spin-off that never
happened.
Came through.
I remember that.
So I'm really glad she's got a new gig. Scott Grimes from ER is in it. It's basically like Galaxy Quest, the series.
I love Galaxy Quest.
If this show is good, it could become my new favorite TV show.
When does it start? Is it fall?
Starts in fall on
it's
Fox.
It's not a summer show,
States.
It's a fall. Okay, what's it called again?
The Orville.
The Orville. I've heard of it, but know very little.
So, I will say, it looks like it's the Seth MacFarlane style of humor, which is kind of dumb. He gets
yeah,
me
like
every
Seth
time.
MacFarlane.
I think he's really funny.
I think he's funny.
He's
mostly
incredibly talented.
Very. Say what you will of him, the man
so talented
is very good.
He for 2 years I think did a BBC prom thing, a musical theatre
oh
concert.
Yeah, yeah, he can
he's
sing
incredible his
he
voice
can
is beautiful.
Sing and his voice acting
it's
is amazing.
He can sing, yes, and he when he sings he can act,
exactly,
which by the way Chris Pine can also do really well.
I did not know this.
He was on SNL and like he did a lot of sketches, he was singing and like he
Chris
can act
Pine
while
can
he sings
sing. Huh.
He like he can't sing amazing, but he can do that thing where he can act while he sings, and
which
sing, like
makes
he's perfect
up
for musical theatre.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane can not only sing, but I really like his voice. It's really
oh,
good.
Very
a really
croner,
beautiful
like
baritone
a croner voice. Yeah.
And he doesn't warble.
Absolutely.
He can hold a note.
The, which theoretically is like
anymore.
A good thing. They teach you to do that. The warble is something that is taught professionally.
Get, like so, if
to actually
if
do
you,
on purpose.
If you learn music as a instrumentalist. A long note is a single held note.
Yeah, but
you only
an instrument
warble
is not
on it
the human voice.
If there is a little notation beside
yeah, yeah,
it which
yeah.
says this is to be vibrato.
I know, but human voice is not a is not
but
the same.
But they still don't write it like that. It was written as one note.
Theoretically
it wasn't
some people do
as vibrato.
It naturally like someone like Houston did it naturally and it doesn't bother me like Whitney Houston at the end of very long notes. But when they do it like the musical theater thing is that it's become again like a taught skill that you just put on
and it
top
sounds like trash
and it sounds terrible essentially, which is why I don't like regular musical
yeah,
musical
so,
theater singing.
So the Orville is coming
but I love Hamilton
soon. I can't wait to see it. Okay. I'm keeping myself isolated until I get to see it.
So that was that for TV. Thank you very much.
2 minutes to spare.
Die. Oh, look at us. Doing well, doing well.
Okay, good. I'm glad we have extra time, because I might try and insert some songs in this. Music.
Oh, are we talking about music? Great.
I presume you don't have anything.
I have some, but it's so, so niche. Like, I was just in Japan, so I reconnected with Japanese music that no one has ever heard.
We are going to do something that we did in one of our pilot episodes. That I think saved an episode at the time.
Those that should never be named or mentioned ever again.
Unless we start a Patreon in the future and then they can be
avoided. And then, yep, they can be special content.
It's time for Eurovision.
Oh, God, no. Really? Is it back? Oh.
It was a couple weeks ago now. Maybe
what was it?
Ago.
Like the final? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember. Didn't Portugal win?
Portugal won.
Fuck yeah. Representing. If anyone doesn't know, I am half Portuguese. So I only remember this because someone mentioned and I felt happy for about 30 seconds. Same when Real Madrid won whatever they won recently.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to remember what country this was.
Other random people giving me pride for things I haven't done myself. I know Spain was last and it was terrible.
I literally can't remember their song.
Exactly. But I remember it made the news in Spain because it was, you know, it was such a they were so ashamed and whatever.
So I'm going to play Marta and you'll hear it over the mic. Some of my favorites.
Okay.
This is the most
By the way, for future reference, we do have a Bluetooth speaker in the future, if you want to use it.
Okay. This is the most Eurovision moment of the final.
Do I need to hear it or watch it?
You need to watch and hear.
Okay.
This is Croatia.
Oh.
If you want to watch along.
Your phone. I'm like, why is it so low?
There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle.
It's the worst start.
Wait, it's White Titus. This is what you would love Unbreakable. Literally, it's White Titus. How does a Croatian guy have such a perfect American accent? He sings well, though.
What you were missing, if you're not watching this, is that he's wearing like a half and half outfit.
Holy
where
shit.
One side is like a
he's
motorbike
like,
jacket.
He's wearing, no, he's basically doing, like Danny Zuko from Greece on one side and like an opera singer on the other.
Yeah. Like, it's like when people were like man on one side, woman on the other side, but it's like
and they turn
pop star and opera star on the other side.
Because he can sing both things.
Because he can sing both really well.
Well, actually, kudos to him.
He was better in the semi-final.
He sings really well, though.
His vocal was even better in the semi.
This guy's from Croatia? Wow.
Well, he's representing Croatia.
Yeah, I'm not sure this guy has been born and raised in Croatia. He sounds...
British people turn up in acts from all over.
Yeah, he sounds and looks very,
so
very...
Celine Dion represents Switzerland.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not sure this guy...
No, actually, his name is, like, Jack Kerchick, so...
He could be, like, an American immigrant, is what I mean.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, when you sing, you kind of talk like something like that.
Well, he was talking at the beginning. He was talking with an American
accent. No, that to me sounds like a very European-American accent.
Yeah, but still, very good one.
But it's also how you learn English, maybe.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I like it.
Oh, you get the gist, so...
I love... Especially because the camera, if you show him from the front, it's not as fun. The camera should be exclusively set up on the sides, just so that you could see, like, the opera dude and then the rock and roller.
Italy had a man in a monkey suit.
Oh, the Fonz. That's what I was talking about. He looks like a Fonz from one side.
I want you to watch this for, like, 2 seconds. Just
so
we're talking
Australia?
About the Uncanny Valley. Australia, not as good this year.
But
in comparison to the rest of the trash that was on, it was fine.
I need to
you
see
talk about the Uncanny Valley.
Okay.
This man is the human embodiment of it.
What the hell?
This is Sweden.
Oh, you know what? No, that's not Uncanny Valley. That's bad surgery. That's literally bad surgery done on a face.
I mean, look at him.
So he looks like
For basically the whole, this is like,
he looks plastic because he is plastic.
This is like a plastic man smoldering down the camera for 4 minutes.
Yeah, he's had very bad plastic surgery.
And the song's next,
which makes you look like a fish and plastic. Can I see Portugal? Because I have no idea what.
Can see Portugal. It's very weird.
Hey, they won.
Why it won? I wasn't a fan. I didn't love it.
I don't think they've ever won anything. Poor
I actually
people.
Think the prettier performance was the celebration one when he got his sister who wrote it with him. I just googled YouTube Portugal, completely forgot the keyword, which is Eurovision.
Yeah. YouTube Portugal, you
go
might find something
music
else.
Video, I want it live. His sister wrote it with him, and I actually prefer his sister's voice. And when he was ill, there's an ad. His sister performed for him at the rehearsal.
A very talented family. Salvador Sobral, Amar Pelos Dois.
It's in Portuguese.
I'm like, well, they even sung in Portuguese.
It's very pretty, but.
I see a Portuguese flag! Oh my god. Yeah, he looks 100% Portuguese.
He's a little weird.
He looks, yeah. He looks like a hipster Portuguese man. Yes. Who is high on mushrooms.
So they.
He looks like a Portuguese hipster who is high on mushrooms.
I think they got a lot of points because during like the sort of voting recap in the semi-finals, whenever it cut to them, him and his sister would just make stupid faces.
You know, just the way he's acting. Again, I'm Portuguese. I've been in Portugal. I've seen people like this performing in like the cool city centre hipstery areas of Lisbon. And basically, he's just high as a kite.
This song is basically 3 minutes of this. It's very pretty, but
he sings well though for a Portuguese person. Hey, Spanish flag.
I mean, if you want to watch the rest, you can.
He will come back to me. Yeah, that's interesting. Nah, cool. I mean, it's a gamble, and it worked.
It worked.
So there you go.
But the song I wanted to win was.
Oh wait! If you can have a cracker, I can have an M&M.
You can.
Sorry for the noise.
Song I wanted to win was this from Belgium. And this was the only song this year that I downloaded. It sounds better on the record than it does live.
She looks. This is the thing about Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
Some acts look like legitimate professional musicians, like her,
mm-hmm.
and last year's Australia. And others, like the Croatia dude, look like people who are in a singing
She's
contest.
16.
What? What? No. No,
Some
no,
people
no.
I thought
no.
that she looked really nervous and that didn't work, but I think it really worked for the song.
She is not 16.
16.
No.
Yep.
There is no way
she
this
in the Voice
human
Belgium
being
when she was like
15. Is
16.
She looks
so
35.
The Australian guy was 16 too.
She looks older than I do, and I'm twice her age, literally. Whoops.
I think that's the
disregard
way
that. Can you erase that from the podcast? No, I'm kidding. She does not look or sound or in any way behave like a 16-year-old. How can you look like that at 16? I look like a nerdy kid. She looks 30 years old. Like, literally, that is a 30-year-old face. Look at her.
I mean, I see what you mean, but.
What is going on with teenagers? What?
On the record, by the way, that sort of riff you can hear in the back, like the.
It's very.
Sounds so good.
It's very, what's the name I'm looking for? It sounds like the bing 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 bit. It sounds like it's.
Like Crazy Frog.
No. Oh, why can't I remember his name? It's not Michael Bay. It's a musician guy. Tubular Bells?
Oh, Michael Bay.
Yes. It sounds slightly like that. I mean, I like the song, but I see why it maybe didn't win, because it's like very, I don't want to say generic, but yeah, it's a good typical song, and maybe people just wanted to vote for something weird. I still need to get the CD for last year's winner. I've got her on, I think I have her on iTunes as a favourite, like her actual CD she released in Australia or something.
She released, Damien, yeah.
Yeah, she has some
so
music
good.
Out.
I got it.
I love her. But yeah, I have a long list of stuff that
really
I need to
album.
Buy. So I'm waiting for...
I loved Spain's money. Entry from last year.
I don't even
know. It was almost the theme tune for this podcast at one point.
Really? That would have been fun.
It's played great. But yeah, that was your reason this year. Hopefully we won't get copyright things or whatever.
Yeah, music-wise, I was in Japan and I was reconnecting with the Japanese music industry, which is very weird, completely insular, has nothing to do with anywhere else, and they managed to survive selling their music exclusively in Japan, even though people would like to buy it outside the country, but they don't really let you. They're not really on iTunes America, they're not on Spotify. It's a very, very odd industry. It's massive. They still have Tower Records. That's how weird it is. They have actual buildings filled with CDs
that
sell.
That bubblegum pop song from the Just Dance bit of Ubisoft, was that a J-pop thing?
That was Korean.
Ah.
That was Hyuna, I think. It was an actual Korean song, which I found very weird that they had a song that's K-pop in Korean for people in America who don't know what anyone's saying. But yeah, K-pop's good. It's just the Japanese... Koreans are trying to sell internationally. They you know, they're selling their brand. Japanese are not interested in that. I did buy a couple of CDs from a few bands that I really like. And sadly, I also bought Western music. Because I was like, well, I don't really find CDs anywhere anymore. Sorry, I'm just checking.
That old Western music.
I bought, Dance and Harry Styles. Don't judge me.
Ugh.
Apparently they're good.
Ugh.
But my favorite, this is if... Anyone out there likes Japanese music or likes good rock music? Interesting and unusual. There's a band called 9mm Parabellum Bullet.
That's a very not English name.
This is what I mean. It's in English, but their band names are very, yeah. I could read you some band names. And
like Metal Gear Solid, Revengeance.
No, yeah.
Thanks, Japanese developers.
There's one
you've English good.
Where is my hat? I left it. The house is here. Like, literally, they have some of the most insane names ever. But this band I actually found through anime. They did the soundtrack for a really, really cool show. And I've been a fan ever since, so I'm really excited to have their new CD, which is called...
Babel.
Yeah, so... That's my recommend for today.
The one thing I can recommend along those lines is the theme to Ruby, the Rooster Teeth anime, is awesome.
Oh, the one
really
on YouTube?
The show. Yeah.
Oh, the red and blue one. Okay, yeah.
No, not Red versus Blue. Ruby.
Ruby, yeah, but I mean, it's the same people. I just always recognize them. It's Rooster Teeth, but I just call them Red and Blue because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I was trying to see if I can find... Do we have time?
We've got time.
I'm going to try and find my list of music that I wanted to buy but didn't because I thought I could get it online.
Well, you know what? If you
Big
find
mistake.
It again, then you can pop it in to books.
Into books?
Books. That was the
oh,
third thing
books,
we
wrote. Yeah. No, I have it here. I just need to fucking... It needs to... Oh, there we go. These are some of the band names, people that I like. One of them is Sunrise in My Attaché Case.
Sure.
That's
a Eurovision entry.
Polka Dot Stingray.
That's definitely a Eurovision entry.
Androp Prism.
I do this with flower types. Like whenever I go to Botanic Garden, I find really cool flower names and I note them down to use in books.
Yep. Pelican Fan Club. And there's Yuzu, which is quite normal, and then Amy, which is just a name. But there really are a couple of quite funny names. So yeah, I think that's it. Moving on to books.
Yeah. I recently have been on something of a non-fiction spree.
Mm-hmm.
I recently got A People's History of the United States of America.
Wow, that's some light reading.
Which was recommended to me by Colin Moriarty from Colin's Last Stand. It looks really good so far. So I've got that. I kind of want to get Shattered, the book about how Hillary Clinton lost the election.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a
but
few,
But I
actually.
Might wait until Mark Halperin and the other guy who did The Circus on Showtime, which I really wish I could have watched,
but it was like a week by week documentary of the elections that happened. They produce a book every year. They wrote Game Change about Sarah Palin.
I know about that.
They are writing one for Hillary Clinton. I might wait for that one. Yeah. But it sounds like I just want to read about the train crash where no one listens to Bill Clinton.
Not too soon.
But yeah. Because political tactics and things kind of fascinate me. And so, yeah. So those things that I want to get. I haven't been reading a lot of fiction stuff lately. I need to get back to S, which was a J.J. Abrams book with Doug Dorst, which is like a book that comes with like little postcards and things and like a code spinner, and like the story is told in like footnotes.
Wow,
in this,
that sounds
like academic text.
Intense.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of like Book of Leaves, which I still need to finish, but...
Can you send me a link to that? Because it sounds interesting.
I shall.
I struggle because I love reading books, but I have no time. And I've got like maybe 10 books on my Kindle.
Yeah.
That I would love to read. I was telling you before, I interrupted, sorry. I was going through my Amazon list and they deleted some titles, which was terrible because it wouldn't tell me which ones they were. So I had to go through all of it and try to figure it out. But I've gone on a spree of rereading sort of 1970s, 1980s fantasy fiction novels that I read when I was a kid, which is what got me into the whole genre in the first place. But I read them in Spanish because they were gifts from my family and stuff when I was back home. And I was just wanted to go back and read them in English and see what it's like. And it's funny because I still have like sense memories related to some of these books, and it's kind of insane. So I'm excited to get some time and go back to reading them and see how they are. There's also the book, what's it called? It's a series. It's going to be turned into a show or television or movie, and Lin-Manuel is like producing. It's about magic. The magic something. You know the one I mean?
The Lin-Manuel connections reminded me. I have
because he
this.
Mentioned it on Twitter, and I've got it here somewhere. Oh, the King Killer Chronicles.
That wasn't what was in my head.
No, that's not the one. Wait, that's not.
I know what this Lin-Manuel thing. When you say it, I'll know what it is, but I don't think it was that.
I thought that was it, but maybe it's not. I remember the book. It's on here on my list somewhere. I've got so many. But sorry, I interrupted. You were saying something.
I don't remember what I was.
Oh, here it is. A Darker Shade of Magic. That's book one. And then there's something called... a book called The Girl of Ink and Stars, which I'm really interested in. It sounds pretty amazing. But I haven't read it yet. Basically about a girl who loves maps and map making and goes in search of a missing friend who has disappeared. And she uses the stars and stuff to navigate, and it just seems kind of cool and awesome. So I'll let you know when I finish it what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think those are kind of my only books at the moment. I've been reading a lot lately. But yeah, Book of Leaves, which I was talking about a minute ago. It's this big horror sort of weird book. Where like you have to turn the pages upside down at points, and there's like page long footnotes, but like the problem with it is it's this big fat book, like it's not the normal shape of a book, which it like I can't carry it anywhere.
Okay.
So it's basically never left my house in Edinburgh because it weighs a ton and I can't carry it anywhere. But I want to finish that, but it's and I'm never gonna I don't want to get that on Kindle because it completely wastes the experience.
Yeah,
like,
obviously
you do it physically.
Who's written it or
it was oh balls.
Okay, never mind. Moving
it's,
on.
It's two initials, one of which is Z. And this was his first book.
Oh, this is quite funny actually.
And then he did something else. House of Leaves.
For our miscellaneous, we can talk about how crazy the weather is. And I just got sent a photograph.
Mark Z. Danielewski.
Means nothing to me. But
that was his first book.
Book sounds. So it's The Leaf?
House of Leaves.
I'm going to just check it on Amazon. Sorry, guys. I just got sent a text message from Spain. There's a picture of a square in one of the cities. And it's quite warm and sunny back home. And there's like this pillar that's casting a shadow. and all the doves are literally standing in the shadow because they can't bear how hot it is.
Very warm in London right now.
Yeah, but not. I don't think it's quite as bad.
Probably not.
I just think it's hilarious. House of Leaves, okay.
But yeah, that was our, sorry, slightly disappointing book sequence.
we'll do better next time, yeah. I promise.
There'll maybe be a mod on books next week.
yeah.
We'll see. But, yeah. Because I've been reading a lot of comics recently.
Which ones?
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
But the only thing
I'm only Buffy and... Buffy's the only one I'm keeping really up with, and I don't know how I feel about where they're going with Buffy.
I got to the end of season 9, I don't think I've read since.
Do you care to know? So I can talk about it, is what I mean. Basically, they're coming to a point where there is a possibility that they're going to basically... Wow, I'm really going roundabout about saying it. They're going to take away everyone's powers, magic, everything. Willow will be magicless. The Slayer will... She won't have any... Like, Buffy is going to... Well, she did actually already give up all of it. So she's just a normal human being.
Sure, you're on
now.
Season 10?
Hmm?
You sure you're on season 10?
I'm in the latest season. I'm reading it up to date.
Okay. Because no, that sounds like the end of season 8.
Oh, no. But this is like government. Like, this is the government. Their own government. Basically, the government has found out that...
Is Joss Whedon still producing this?
No, not at all. And he says it's not canon. But basically, they've discovered that non-human creatures exist.
Right.
And there's been several attacks and stuff. So what they've done is... It's basically social commentary. They've put all magical beings in... internment camps.
Season 8 and 9 of Buffy were Joss Whedon produced. They were canon. I think season 10 was as well. Like, Nick...
Is that the one where she and fucking Angel are having sex and creating a universe?
That was the end of season 8.
That was awful.
It was crazy.
I hate that season.
Season 8 wasn't great. But the best thing... season 9 was fine, but the best thing about season 9 was the side series called Angel and Faith, which was... awesome.
See, I don't really like Faith.
It was really good. Like, Angel and Faith is the next thing that I wanted to see on TV.
Oh,
it was so good.
No.
I haven't read Angel and Faith season 2, but Angel and Faith season 1 is so good. It's really, really great.
I bet, but I think
they shortchanged the character of Angel at the end of Buffy season 8.
That's the problem. That's the problem for me, is that they ruined Angel in a little bit, and I'm like not interested anymore.
Angel and Faith, that one is really good. Yeah. So, if you were a fan of the series, you probably need to read season 8 to understand what's happening, but
yeah.
Angel and Faith is a great
series. I just read it because, honestly, I love the Scooby Gang and I love Spike, and I just like to see what they're up to.
There's the season 8 of Buffy, basically up until the last two books, is really good. The opening one is pretty great. It has a great moment where Willow turns up and says, I'd like to test that theory.
Just out of the show. So yeah. It was still like connected to
it. The third story won an Eisner Award, I think. And it was really, really good. Wolves at the Gate is great. It's about vampires in Tokyo, actually.
Yeah,
it's
that.
A really good run. There's one in the middle, which is kind of lots of one-shots about now everyone knows that vampires exist, what the world is like, and it's a bit meh.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly where they've gone, except with everything that's non-human and like supernatural.
Season 9 is...
I read it, honestly, like fan fiction. Like, it's nice to go back to this world that I know, and it's characters that I like, but none of it, for me, is, like, real canon from the show. It's just, like,
Season
people writing
to
stories.
Season 8, to me, makes sense as canon, and I think it was a good way to do it. Season 9 is fine. Angel and Faith is great. But I would want to see that as an actual TV show.
Yeah, really?
And rewrite it and expand
it. I don't know. So I'm reading that, and then I'm reading a couple of other things that no one knows, so it doesn't matter. Things online. I read a lot of web comics now, more than paper-based. And we can talk about Batman. Do you like... Well, okay, let's not talk about it, but a quick yay or nay for the most current development of the story of Batman.
That he proposed to Catwoman.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it.
No, apparently he's going to get married to her. Like, actually. What? See, for me, it's a big, big nay. Because they're like, oh, we don't want Batman only to be, like, dark and dready and stuff, and I understand in a way, but also that's why he's Batman. I don't want to see Daddy Batman coming back, you know, to his wifey at home. It's just like, no!
I don't think that'll happen. I mean, also, this is clearly a setup for one of them to be killed.
Obviously, which is also something that I'm really pissed off, because Logan is still dead, and I'm still waiting for... Is he still dead? Wolverine is still dead, isn't he? They killed him, and I'm really angry. Not in the movie, in the actual comics. But then they change their mind every 5 minutes, and I just think it's like a gimmicky thing.
Welcome to comic books continuity.
Yeah, it's a gimmick, and I'm not a fan. And it's funny, because DC errs on the side of darkness on the movies, so they've made this universe that's drab and dull.
That's why I don't care to see Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
I've heard it's good, but...
It's good, but still, it's just the visuals and the world they've created, it's super drab, which doesn't really work with Superman, for example.
Give me Ms. Marvel. I came up with this the other day in a conversation with my mom.
Yeah, but I'm afraid...
Black Widow, Agent Carter crossover.
Oh, that sounds really cool. But it's also...
Hot damn, would that be a good movie?
Marvel is... It's not just the stories, because, you know, they're all fucking superheroes, and they're all kind of dumb, let's face it. None of these stories make a lot of sense. But it's just... While Marvel is fun and colourful, DC is, like, dark and bored, like, ugh, depressing. Whereas now in the comics, they're trying to inject light into the story, and I'm like, no, 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 no. The comics are fine. Do that in the movies, please. It's What's-His-Face for, the director.
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder loves, after 300 and everything, so he loves drab and dull and brown.
The only main comic I really want to read at the moment is Max Landis's American Alien, which was a non-continuity Superman series, which sounds really cool.
It's not bad. I need to get back to Dark Horse and see if they're doing anything interesting right now. And yeah, movies were not... Did we pick movies? We didn't pick movies. Okay, so Wonder Woman, are we doing a final...
I think those are books. It's our wrap-up. Is there anything we absolutely had to get in despite the DA of fate?
Just that I am an antisocial gamer, and I wish the industry would acknowledge our existence. And Wonder Woman, haven't seen, heard it's good, still not particularly interested.
I'm going to see Penn and Teller this Friday.
Oh, you did?
I'm going to.
Oh, you are?
This Friday, I'll let you know next
I remember they were coming, but I didn't think to get tickets.
I'm going to see them in Glasgow.
This Friday?
This Friday.
Oh, so you're going up to Scotland this Friday?
I'm going up to Scotland on Friday
morning. To see them. Well, I love them, and Teller's production of The Tempest is still my favourite. I've ever seen.
You did a production of The Tempest?
In Chicago. He directed it. Which means that... Oh, a bit of theatre. It means that Prospero and Ariel, for those of you who don't know, they're two characters in a Shakespeare play called The Tempest, and they're both... One is a magician, or a mage, and the other one is a spirit. They did real magic in the show.
Nice.
And it blew my mind how no one had thought of, like, injecting real magic into a show about magic. But it was amazing, and it was super... Oh, it was so good. It was so good. I loved it. Cool. So, yeah, you have to tell me how that goes.
I will.
Sounds fun. I have no plans for the weekend. I'm just going to chill. Netflix and chill on my own.
Probably not a euphemism.
Not a euphemism. Like literally, Netflix, chill, and play video
euphemism.
Games.
I had no idea it was a euphemism.
People do use it as a euphemism.
I had no idea.
Until now or before?
Until, like... 3 months ago, or
I think
something.
It used to not. Like, yeah, it used to not be a euphemism. That's the problem. It started as like a genuine thing people did, and then it became a euphemism. And now you're like, well, how am I supposed to say Netflix and chill?
Just Netflix.
When I mean Netflix and chill. Anything else that's interesting?
To chill and watch Netflix.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
For us.
Well, thanks very much for listening to the first episode. Apologies if there are already audio issues. We'll try and fix them for next week.
Bi-weekly for now. And eventually we'll open up an account, maybe a phone number, if people want to call in and participate. You have like a Skype number or something.
Sure.
Yeah, you never know.
All right.
And yeah, that's it for us.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.